You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Science has a language. And what is the language of science? It's math. Therefore, what is math? Well, math is numbers. And as you are about to find out, astrology and numerology are all about numbers too. Stanley, known as a mathematical genius, has developed the ESP code based on your personal numbers to not only direct you in your life to your purpose and mission, it allows you to use the law of attraction through math. Join us for a lively discussion every Thursday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, where you can ask your question based on the scientific formula of math. Visit loaradionetwork.com/Stan-Lee for his live show information. And now, live from Australia, here is Mr. Stan Lee, the mathematical alchemist.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the ESP Code Numerology with Stan Lee. It's the 10th of May, 2021, 1 in the morning here in Sydney, and I have the one and only and infamous Dr. Joe Vitale in America. Dr. Joe, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Stanley. I've been looking forward to this moment.
Myself as well. Like I came across you in 2006 with The Secret back then, and that had an initial profound effect on me in terms of really seeking self-development. And as we were saying just before, that's that movie or that documentary, if you will, is still going around. So
It is. One of the last countries I visited was Iran. And even there, they were seeing The Secret and talking about The Secret. And I was in Russia before that. They're still talking about The Secret. I was in the Ukraine before that. It's amazing that that movie that has now been out for well over a decade is still traveling around the planet and awakening people to a basic law that they need to know to create a better life.
Yes. And I mean, your accolades, Dr. Joe, I mean, you know, 80 books, 15 feature films, 15 songs. You're a singer-songwriter. You've done, you know, nearly 250 events. And correct me if I'm wrong, you wrote 7 books in the space of this COVID period as well. I mean,
you've done your research, Stanley. You've done your research, Stan. During COVID and a divorce and deaths of family members and friends and going through a rollicking, challenging turmoil of a time, I still came out with 7 books.
Wow. Yeah. And one of those 7 books is what we're going to be touching on today is The Fifth Phrase.
Yes.
And it's the trilogy from your Zero Limits and At Zero that you did in 2007, 2013. And this phrase, the Ho'oponopono, which is a Hawaiian spiritual healing technique. Can you elaborate a bit about that phrase? Because I think it's fascinating.
Well, we need to back up and tell a little bit of the story about Ho'oponopono for those who are newbies to it. And if there are people who are newbies to it, brace yourself, because this is one of the most eye-opening, mind-stretching, heart-expanding stories you will ever hear. And I know when I first heard this story, I didn't even believe it. And it's the true story of a therapist who helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals at a state hospital for the mentally insane in Hawaii.
Wow.
And I heard the story that he helped heal them, but he didn't work with them directly. He worked with them indirectly, and the focus was on himself. Now, this is already kind of perplexing. It's like, how do you change mentally ill criminals by working on yourself? It doesn't seem possible. I did the research. I talked to the people who worked at that hospital. I found that therapist, and I got the lowdown. I got the true story. And he did work on himself. He did this method that you've said the name, Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono at that time was pretty much underground. It was very cultural. It was very limited. And it was basically a Polynesian, Hawaiian kind of approach to change. And what this therapist was doing was noting how he felt when he looked at the charts of those mentally ill criminals. And these were criminals who were so violent and unpredictable, they were sedated or shackled virtually every day. And there were doctors and nurses who quit because it was a hellish experience to be there. And yet this therapist went there, saw everything that everybody else was seeing, but instead of trying to do traditional therapy, he did Ho'oponopono on himself. So this leads to my basic beginner's explanation of what Ho'oponopono is. In short, Ho'oponopono is a way to alter your own perceptions. Ho'oponopono, as a Hawaiian word, means to make right, to correct. And what you're making right is your view of things. So when Dr. Hulan, which is the name of the therapist, would look at the charts of these criminals, the mentally insane, and he would feel rage or embarrassment or frustration or impatient or who knows what, he directed his attention to that feeling, not to the patient, not to what they did. He chose to look at himself. And so as he's feeling, we'll say, rage, he would say the very four basic phrases of Ho'oponopono. And the four basic phrases are, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you. That's it. I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. Now, he's saying it inside himself as he's feeling his emotional imbalance. And he's saying it to his connection to the divine. Some people would call that God. Some people would call it nature. Some people would call it Gaia. Some people would just, there's 99 names for God. So there would be a different name for each person. For him, he likes to use the word the divine. So he's saying these phrases as a kind of prayer, as a kind of petition. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. He's saying it inside himself. He's saying it to the divine. And he's saying it as a request to heal his emotion. As he heals it, as he clears it, as he cleans it, this is where the real miracle takes place. Not only does he achieve inner peace, but the outer changes. Those patients begin to get better. Dr. Hulan works on himself. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Whenever something triggers him, and as he achieves his inner peace, we look around, and those patients are now no longer being sedated, no longer being shackled. Many of them are pronounced as healthy. Many of them begin to be released into society. Within 4 years, the ward is closed because they have been healed and released. This is the basics of Ho'oponopono.
Wow. So that's like a holographic projection, if you will, from the power of thought. Because I'm a big believer of, you know, I've actually just done a compilation of 20 different videos, and I'm using numerology to try to fix mental illness. It's on my footer. So as you're talking, It's just synchronicities. That's amazing. So the fifth phrase, is that another ascension level, if you will, that you've taken it?
It is, and I'm hesitant to reveal what the fifth phrase is. I will reveal it, but I'm hesitant. Because when I say what it is, it's very easy to oversimplify, to race to the conclusion that you already understand what it's all about. It's a little bit like when I say the four phrases, the basic four phrases, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. They are incredibly simple. Anybody can say these at any time. But without an explanation of what's actually going on when you say the four phrases, you're kind of at a loss to what's really happening behind the scenes. The four phrases are kind of like a combination lock, and they unlock your own perceptions for change. Let's just look at that for a second. When you're saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, it's a kind of a shorthand for a larger plea. You're basically saying, I'm sorry for whatever my beliefs are, conscious, unconscious, collective unconscious, in my ancestors that contributed to what's going on in my life right now. Please forgive me for being unconscious. Please forgive me for not being aware of my own programming. Thank you for cleaning up my perception. Thank you for erasing, deleting, clearing, cleaning the beliefs the data is what's often used in Ho'oponopono, the data in my mind. And I love you for this process. I love you for healing me, cleaning me, clearing me. And I love you for giving me life. And so I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. While it's very deceiving because it's so simple, actually has great depth to it. And as you pointed out, I've written three books now. Zero Limits was the first book that explained this and introduced it. It's the one that's pretty much taken the world by storm. There's pretty much a cult-like following behind that book. 10 years later, I wrote At Zero because I had done it for 10 years. I had heard all the questions. I had heard all the stories. And I wanted to compile a book that went deeper. As I kept doing Ho'oponopono, it was my own personal practice. Not only was I doing it to take care of whatever would show up in my life as a daily challenge, but as I was doing it, it also opened me to receive new inspiration. And one morning, at the beginning of an advanced Ho'oponopono workshop that I was leading outside of Austin, Texas, I downloaded the aha experience of the fifth phrase. I revealed the fifth phrase there at that advanced Ho'oponopono training. And one woman came up afterwards and said, that one phrase is so powerful, you no longer need the first four. That's the power of this. So you're pausing. You want me to say the fifth phrase?
I'm also saying, because you mentioned you downloaded the information, because it's in the ether. The information is in the ether. It's like claircognizance. And when we go through with the viewers your code, that just shows your speed of intellect, because you're very intellectual, but you're fast. And you can catch it. You can catch the information in the ether. So, I'd love to know the fifth phase, but it's very, I believe you cleverly put forth people. I still believe it's powerful to understand the four foundational phrases to get into the fifth phrase, because as you said, there's so many depths. I'd love to know the fifth phrase.
Well, the four phrases all by themselves have been used for virtually anything anybody can name. Whether it's a financial problem, a relationship problem, people having problems with their pets and wanting to heal them, problems at work, problems with their relationship with their family members. I've heard it all, seen it all, and I'm still being surprised by what people try. And that's just with the four phrases. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And Stanley, it's also important to realize that there is such a depth to Ho'oponopono. Not only have I created the three books, but I did three events with Dr. Hulett himself. We did Zero Limits 1, Zero Limits 2, Zero Limits 3 at various parts around the world, one of them in Maui. And all of that was to elaborate on the philosophy and the techniques that are in this. Then I've also created certification programs for people to be certified as Ho'oponopono practitioners. And I'm saying all this for people to realize that, yeah, you can take the four phrases and run with them. But if you really want to impact your life, clear up your life, then you have to go deeper and start soaking this up. The other thing that I want to say, because you just pointed out that this information's in the ethers and I was fast and I grabbed it and pulled it down. I wanted to point out that in Ho'oponopono, we say that in every moment, in any moment, you're either coming from memory or you're coming from inspiration in any moment. Now, for 99% of us, we're coming from memory, which means we're just playing our old patterns over again. We have a mental paradigm. We have a belief system. We've been programmed since birth, perhaps before birth, in a certain way of thinking. And so when we're asked the question, or we are faced with anything in the moment, we do what we've done before. That's memory. When we do Ho'oponopono, we clean up the memory. And I'm not talking about taking away the memories of your life. I'm talking about taking away the programming that has limited you in your life. And when you take away the programming, now you no longer come from memory, but you're available for inspiration. I love inspiration. I love to be surprised. And it was that one morning before the advanced Ho'oponopono workshop that I received through inspiration the fifth phrase. That's where it came from.
And that's similar to how when I created my code of numerology, it was the different modalities that I molded and created my own methodology, if you will. And I'm a big believer, like you said, inspiration gives us creativity, and creativity yes. makes us happy. And when we're happy, yes. we're healthy, because our cells are happy at the subatomic level, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's beautiful. Because our cellular memory, like you said, even before birth, I'm a big believer we bring in patterns from reincarnation, and yep. we have lessons here to learn how to maneuver through those. But you also said something very smart for the listeners, that it's not a matter of just cleaning everything. What you're doing is, what I've learned in subconscious trainings, like sometimes you can't even remove sometimes habitual patterns, but you can fill it, if you will, with something new, positive, so to speak.
Yes.
The subconscious mind is very powerful, and we can take thoughts with us, if you will. And I read something in the Law of Attraction magazine, article that Jules had interviewed you, that you mentioned thoughts are thoughts, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're our reality.
Right.
We can select which one we go. So if we separate ourselves from the thoughts, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, that's a biggie, and thank you for pointing it out. The May-June issue of the Law of Attraction magazine, there's a feature article with me in there, and I'm on the cover and blah, blah, blah. There is me explaining the idea that you're not your thoughts. And I think this is a profound leap in consciousness to realize this, because most of us listen to our thoughts without realizing we don't have to. we have thoughts going on in our head, and we think it's us, and we respond to it, react to it, without knowing that we have choice. So I actually lead people through a tiny little meditation, which I'm just going to narrate it here, where I'll ask them to notice you have thoughts, right? And everybody listening to us right now is thinking. They're thinking about what we're saying. They might be thinking about the four phrases. They might be still wondering, when's he got to tell us the fifth phrase? They've got those thoughts going on in their head. And I pause and I say, okay, you have thoughts, but notice you can describe them. You can comment on them. You're somehow witnessing them. So if you can witness them, if you can observe them, then you must not be your thoughts. Some aspect of you is noting them. And right there, for people, if they get this for the very first time, that's an aha. There's a book that's called You Are Not Your Brain. And it's also proving that we are not isolated to what we're calling brain. We're not isolated to something called the mind. We're actually, from a spiritual standpoint, a witness to all of it. And so the first part of the meditation is to notice you're not your thoughts. The second part is to notice how you're feeling, what emotions are going on right now. And maybe people are curious. Maybe they're captivated. Maybe they're confused by our conversation. Maybe they're on the verge of an awakening right now because of this conversation. And I'll do the same thing. I'll say, notice these emotions. You can write them down. You can describe them to me or to you. You can describe them to somebody else. Well, that means you must not be your emotion. There must be some part of you that's observing it, that again is witnessing it. And this leads to that second insight, that you're not your emotions. You're actually some sort of spiritual eye that can look at your emotions, much like you can look at your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. Then there's one more leg that I go through, and I say, note your physical body. How does it feel right now? And maybe somebody has a backache or a headache or a twinge or whatever, and they need to move around a little bit in their chair or laying down. But I'll say, can you describe your body? And they can describe their body to me. And I'll point out that because you can observe it, because you can witness it, because in a sense, you're in your body, noting your body, that you must not be your body. Your body is almost like a suit. It's almost like an astronaut suit, and you're in it. You were placed in it at birth, much like you were being shot into outer space, but you were shot into this particular universe, and you were put in this particular body. So again, you're not your body. You can observe it. You're some sort of essence, some sort of witness, some sort of observer. Then I take the meditation to the big aha, the punchline. If you're not your thoughts, and you're not your emotions, and you're not your physical body, what are you? And it's that witness that some spiritual traditions will just say is the observer, or they will call it the witness. That part of you, the closer you can be to that part of you, the closer you are to freedom, to creativity, to the divine. All the luggage, all the things that we think about, that we feel about, that we wonder about or worry about, drop away, because we've gone to the center of the cyclone. We've gone to the projector of life. It's just a white screen. It's just an essence. It's just a vibrational field. That's the witness.
Very powerful, Dr. Joe, because with the philosophy that I also teach, with how I do my code based on, say, the Advanced Vedas, in the Vedanta, they talk about we are fixed and everything else around us is moving, is the object. So when we take an eagle eye view around, we can select how we mold our Picasso in the moment. Because you also mentioned in the magazine, we have some certain thoughts. We can select the thoughts we want in the moment. We don't have to take them all. That's very powerful. Like that
is very powerful.
If people understand that line there, it's extremely powerful. So I totally resonate with that in terms of how I do the ESP code, which is, you mentioned one of the words, essence, soul, and purpose code numerology. And that could lead beautifully, which we will touch on the fifth phrase, but let's go, say, onto your date of birth to All explain right. the viewers your four-numbered sequence code, if you will.
Sure.
So your date of birth, Dr. Joe?
Is December 29th, 1953.
So the sun and moon number is your day and month. So the 29 mm-hmm. plus the 12, December, when you add that together, we get 41. When you narrow down to a single digit, 4 plus 1 is 5. So your identity number is a 5. That's your sun and moon. That's your masculine, feminine energies merged. We all have masculine, feminine energies from the sun and moon. So that 5 tells me you're a quick thinker. You love to travel, multitask. And fives are very good actors or musicians as well. So that's your first number. And that's how you use when you're profiling with people, just like you mentioned with the energies and the observer, if you will, the witness. So I'm born 6 in May. 6 plus 5 is 11. 1 plus 1 is 2. So my identity is a 2. Your identity is a 5. Our frequencies form a 7. And 7 is a spiritual connection, if you will. So my Swami that taught me was also number 5. It was very intellectual. So that's your first number. Your second number in its simplistic is Mercury to Pluto infused into 1953. So your year of birth, when you add 1 plus 9 plus 5 plus 3 equals 18. If you narrow down to a single digit, 1 plus 8 is 9. So 9s are of speaking, and 9 is also a spiritual number. And Jules Johnson is also born same year as you, 1953. So that's your second number, your type of identity. Your character, your life path is the merging now of all the planets in the solar system, for example. So your sun and moons are 5. Your Mercury, Pluto is a 9. When you add that together, it equals 14. 1 plus 4 is 5. So you have 2 5s in your code. So your third number is a 5. So that's telling me that's why you're extremely intellectual, extremely fast. And one of the reasons why you're very fast in writing books and traveling a lot and being in, because fives are actors, you've been in 15 films, and fives also musicians or songs, and you've done 15 songs. So, and you've traveled, I gather, to pretty much a lot of countries over these since The Secret.
Right.
Yes. So that's your character, your essence, soul, and purpose. Think of it as your higher self or your subconscious number is the adding up of those three numbers. So 5 plus 9 plus 5 equals 19. Narrow that down to single digit. 1 plus 9 is 10. 1 plus 0 is 1. So the 1 is your, like your ether number, if you will, is your solitude. When you're in your independence, that's when you get your full creativity happening in your 595. That's when it just fully kicks in. So your ESP code is 5951. And you're a water snake. So that's artistic and practical. And you also have the arrow of determination and the arrow of planning, if you will. So that forms some methodologies of your archetypes. And that fits perfectly of how you've molded your careers thus far. I mean, 15 movies, 15 CDs, 80 books, that's the speed. And fives will always, you'll find another modality. You know, you'll do something else in another 2 years that you probably thought you wouldn't have done, because it's how fast you're getting it from the ether. That's how you grabbed, I believe, the fifth phrase, if you will. Did that resonate a little bit, what I explained?
Yes, it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So, of course, personally curious, what's next? If you say I'm going to grab something else from the ethers in the next 2 years, do we have a clue what?
Well, so 2021 for you is a new one-year cycle. So we have all nine, the cycles happen in 9 years. So you're actually the start of a new nine-year cycle. So right now, if you think of the sine wave, you're here. One, because of 2021 is a five, and your identity is a five. 5 + 5 = 10, 1 + 0 = 1. So you're beginning a new phase, if you will, a new nine-year cycle. So what's happening is 2022 is like the planting of the tree, or the seeds are planting. And then 2023, it's going to grow. One is creativity, where three in 2 years would be creation. It's blossomed, if you will. So what would happen is you're already sort of doing possibly, maybe it could be even along the lines of how you wrote the other book too, Money Loves Speed, you know. In the movie Captain Corelli's Mandolin, the remake, the old man is teaching the person in the cave, it is speed of hand, speed of mind, that allows people, I believe, to maneuver through, especially when they have fives. If you know Osho, the Indian guru, his code is 5512 is his ESP code. And I had a YouTube video up, and I had posted in the Law of Attraction, my Law of Attraction page on Jules, on my page via Jules. But he's got three same numbers as you. You're a 5951. He's a 5512. So in your ESP code, you share three similar numbers. And he was extremely smart.
I was a disciple of him when he was Rajneesh for 7 years. And I ran his meditation center in Houston, Texas for a couple of years.
I didn't know that.
I don't usually talk about it, but I'm not embarrassed at all. He was an awakener. He was a Buddha.
That's how synchronicity is kicking in between how we're connecting right now. When I learned speed reading, I learned in Scotland. I learned from the guy who's got the second highest IQ in human history. He was Osho's personal accountant. And he had telling me stories about like Osho, because I know Osho has the, you know, the Rolls Royces and that accolade. But if people listen to how he spoke, intellectual. If anyone went in a debate with him in English in high school, they would never win. put it that way. So
you are absolutely correct. That's one of the things that drew me to him, was his ability to speak. He was a great orator, and he was well-read. He was very much an intellectual, but he was bringing people to him, not for his gift of gab, but because of the vibrational quality of his spirituality. I believe he was truly an enlightened master. I believe he was a living Buddha, and the people that came to him might have been dazzled and entertained by the speech and the stories, but they were at his feet because of the energy of who he was.
Totally agree. And I never knew that about you. So there you go. That just further edifies your own intellect as well. And how you're speaking, because I can really go deep with the conversation with different angles. But leading, say, with the fifth phrase, let's enlighten the viewers from Dr. Joe Vitale.
Right. Well, the fifth phrase, when I say it, it's going to sound like it's bad English, because the phrase itself is I forgives. Plural, myself. I forgives myself. Now, obviously, I had to write a whole book to explain it. That's why the latest book is called The Fifth Phrase. It's the third book about Ho'oponopono. So let me quickly try to define what's going on with this, because this is a phrase so powerful. As I mentioned earlier, one woman who's been practicing Ho'oponopono for a decade said, you no longer need the four phrases. That's how powerful the fifth phrase is. So what's going on when we say, I forgives myself? First, the I is not referring to your ego. The I is referring to the divinity within you. This goes back to the little meditation I did just a few minutes ago when I said, you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, you're not your body. You are the divine I behind all of it. the divine I, not the Stanley I, not the Joe I, not the listener's name I. This is the divine I. So the very first thing to think of is that I forgives myself is the divine, the divinity within me forgives. And forgiving is one of the most powerful transformational tools we can ever do. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive everybody else, because carrying any sort of grudge, resentment, unfinished story does nothing but burn up our energy system. It is burning us. It's not burning anybody else. And so we have to let go to heal. So I forgives means the I within me is forgiving. And then what? Myself, it's not one word, it's two words. Myself, and it's a small s, it's my subconscious, my ego, my programming, my data. I forgives myself is the divine is forgiving my programming that created whatever is going on in my life. Most of us have something to complain about ourselves or other people. And what Ho'oponopono was leading us to do is to realize the divine only wants you to know that you are loved. You are not being judged by the divine. You are judging yourself. You don't have to ask forgiveness from the divine. You have to ask forgiveness from yourself. It is all you. So I forgives myself. Again, I wrote a whole book to explain this, so I'm trying to fumble my way through it. Is the divine in you forgives the programming you've been responding to in your life. When you get that, I forgives myself, and you release that, you are now in a place where you can be inspired or even enlightened.
Very, very powerful. Totally felt even like goosebumps there, because what Dr. Joe just mentioned, the subconscious mind is at least 10,000 times more powerful than the conscious mind. And just by using that sentence and going deep, if listeners just play this back, that can be a spontaneous healing within themselves. That can be an instant remission, like straight away, if people get that in themselves. Because I'm a big believer, as above, so below, as within, so without, with the energies of the planet. But going even further than that, words have a frequency. Just like in music, when you're playing music and it's a frequency. So that phrase is multidimensional. It's like omnipotent, if you will. Like that can, if someone is really in the zone, depending on what level of ascension they're at, they could be out of some sort of healing, and that could just be bang, a spontaneous remission, if you will, within themselves. They'll probably feel it. That's very
well
powerful.
Well said. I got chills as you were talking. It's also important to realize, you know, you and I never spoke before and never met before, and I never saw questions. I didn't know what we were going to talk about. Lisa Winston, my partner, set this up and just said, here's the link, show up at, you know, 10 a.m. Central Time in Texas. So everything I'm doing here is coming from the inspired moment. And even before getting on the interview, I was doing the Ho'oponopono phrases, all four plus the fifth phrase, so that I would be clear and I could be present. Now I'm getting to a point here. My point is, when you ask me to describe the fifth phrase, I've been on numerous radio shows recently, mostly because I'm on the cover of the Law of Attraction magazine. So everybody wants to interview me again because of that timeliness. And they all say, what's the fifth phrase? Until today, I didn't tell them. I all said, well, I wrote a book, go read the book. And I didn't say it that bluntly, but I was loving and said, hey, I spent a whole book, go read the book. Today with you, I felt inspired to go ahead and explain it. The more interesting thing to me is I just explained it in a way I think is better than what's in my book. It was the interplay between you and I. It's the interplay of our psychic energies and our spiritual moment and the numbers and everything coming together. And it was also just being inspired in this moment without judgment, saying, oh no, let people go buy the book. You know, that'll be good for me and it'll be good for them. No, it was more like the purity of the heart said, just tell them and explain it.
It's a beautiful, that's like collective cosmic consciousness, because it's the timing, if you will. And then when I went with your ESP code, and then we went back on the phrase, It fell into place, because what's happening is, you know, they say to live in the now, which is great, but I say your number's your journey. in, because I'm a numerologist, the way I do the code, but we mold our Picasso. So that phrase, like I say, I'm a master teacher, but I'm a master student. So I'm always learning and teaching at the same time. So our energy through the ether, because Zoom or the internet is the ether, and the internet is fast. It travels because internet is a fire. So,
I'm actually said that
I'm honored that I got to hear it from you. So that's
with
that's
you. Great. Well, we pulled it out together. We gave birth to it together. I believe that there is an esoteric internet. It has nothing to do with the internet that you and I are using right now, and people might be using to tune into the show. But there's an esoteric internet that connects all of us on some sort of invisible level. I've drawn diagrams where I'll say there's the subconscious mind, there's the conscious mind, subconscious mind, there's the collective unconscious, the Jungian approach. And on that deep dive level, we are all connected. And we can often send a message or a request from the conscious into our subconscious, burying it, submerging it, planting it in the collective unconscious, and it'll travel around to find the person that can help fulfill it for you. And it kind of sneaks up through their unconscious into their conscious. And suddenly they go, I need to call Dr. Joe Vitale, or I need to call Stanley, or whatever, all because of something that was planted in the collective unconscious. And now I have a question for you.
Yes.
You say that you're always learning, and you may have already covered this because I don't know your work. And again, you and I didn't talk before. But when I said the phrase, I forgives myself, I couldn't help but wonder, what's the numerology of that sentence? Have you ever taken phrases like I love you and looked at the numerology of a phrase?
There's numerology in letters themselves, mm-hmm. and names have different meanings. Like, say, for example, your first letter vowel is an O in your name, and O's are very intellectual. So not only is you double five intellect because of the two fives, it's like a triple whammy with the O. And even though Osho's name wasn't Osho, but the way he termed that name holographically, it vibrates a frequency and energy, if you will. So phrases can have like a matrix of a digit, if you will. But but what came to my mind when you said, just when I clicked in and heard the forgives as in the plural, I straight away felt this is multidimensional. Straight away. Like even more omnipotent, it's basically extremely fast. Now, you mentioned also, because I'm a big believer in acronyms like triple C, collective cosmic consciousness, and the same thing as clarity, confidence, creativity. When person has clarity, they're more confident. That's when that inspiration kicks in for them to create, because we were all meant to create. If we're stagnant, our energies, our cells won't get happy. And you also mentioned something very important that just came to mind before: the energy burns. Energy precedes sickness. Energy precedes us getting a physical sickness first. What happens is, if we react to something, we get angry with that energy. If we're building up our energy with meditation and crystals and healing and good words and the phrases that you've done, especially the fifth phrase, once we get like angry, that energy can go whoo, and it can take a little bit of time to get it back up again. If we can stay in that zone up there all the time, we will attract even more magnetically, like in the law of attraction. So when we're thinking in the ether, what's happening is, like you mentioned, that will creep in and find the right person anywhere, the four corners of Earth, and that creeping in can happen that fast. That's how fast it can be, because it's deflecting, if you will, and it'll just hit someone. And Hollywood movies can break this down very good. There's one good movie with Brad Pitt played in it, three different strangers in three different locations on Earth, but they were all interlinked. I forget the movie, but
that's what I was just going to say. What was that movie?
I forget the name, but I can Google it and found out and put into the link again with the viewers. But that's how it bounces, if you will. So it's very powerful.
Well, there's two ways that I know of to clear up that energy. We talked about forgiveness. So forgiveness is the biggie here. And most of us hold grudges. We have unfinished business, unfinished stories. We all feel self-righteous about something that took place and that should have been done otherwise. Got to change the story. Got to let go of that. We've got to be free. That comes from forgiveness. The second biggie is also powerful, and it's also easy. Gratitude. Whenever we move into gratitude, we transform ourselves. We move into a higher level of being. And I've told the story several times, my pencil story, where decades ago, I was broke, I was unknown, I was working on myself, I was scrambling, I was struggling, I was even suicidal, I was so unhappy. And I kept hearing about gratitude, practice gratitude. And I thought, yeah, I'll be grateful when I have something to be grateful for. And people would say, that's not how it works. And so one day I picked up a pencil and I said, okay, I'm going to be grateful for this damn pencil. And I wasn't grateful. I was skeptical. I was bitter. I was bottled up with disappointment. But I thought, I'm going to play the game. And I said, all right, with this pencil, I'm grateful because I could write a suicide note. And obviously, I'm not feeling grateful. But then I went, I could write a movie. I could write a poem. I could write a song. I could write a grocery list. And as I started to actually play with possibilities, I actually started to feel grateful. And then when I turned the pencil over and I said, an eraser, this is genius. I can erase the suicide note. I can erase the parts of the novel or the manifesto or the song that need to be changed. And I went, this was only in 2 minutes, Stanley. I went from unhappy and bitter and ungrateful to grateful. And I did it by pretending to be grateful. And as I started to pretend, I actually started to sincerely move into gratitude. And so I tell people, I don't care who you are or where you are, you can transform yourself in a nanominute by focusing on gratitude. And at first, if you have to make it up, if you've got to be a little playful and even skeptical, go right ahead. Because if you truly get into this, you can pick up anything and start to play the game, and you can be grateful in a couple of minutes. So forgiveness and gratitude are the two that can help burn off that energy and free you to be in the moment and to live your calling, your mission, and to be inspired.
Beautifully said. And also with your two fives, that allows you to do it fast. Some other people may have some other numbers where they may contemplate and over worry on it. But when you have methodologies like you're doing with the Hawaiian technique and your books, they can actually shift to speed fast, because I believe we need to be fast. And I also believe when I learned speed reading, you know, the creator source or the divine gave us both hemispheres of the brain, and like a walnut, the walnut's in the shape of the left and right brain. So I only researched about you. I knew you from The Secret 2006 when I had the documentary. I say I'm the first Australian, so I'll go with it anyway. But nonetheless, I researched a little bit about you about 1.5 prior to the interview. And you had a lot of sites, a lot of this was flickered. And I just went to Zero Limit Mentoring. I just seen an image of a brain, because that's what I, when I learned speed reading from the guy who knew Osho's accountant, I had my brain calibrated with EEG testing and measured on a graph. But on that image, you had an image of a brain. You had analytical versus creative, but you crossed out the creative and you said and on that image, meaning we're both using both the hemispheres of the brain, because we have a left and right hemisphere, you know. So I found when I seen that image, very powerful, because when we tap into both sides of the brain, I believe we can have better mental illnesses can dissipate fast as well. And that could possibly be from, as you mentioned, forgiveness and gratitude too, because that may have a realignment. I don't know, but I believe it can, because frequency and sound and thoughts can help, like what you mentioned with the mental ward in Hawaii. I mean, that's if people understand what Dr. Joe had spoken about, that that's holographic projection. That's the collective cosmic conscious. That's like the 100 monkey syndrome, you know, the 100 monkey effect, if you will, but for one man instead of 100 monkeys, for example. But that's very powerful, like, because my mind is going in so many different angles when I'm hearing you because of your intellect, because I've read, you know, a few books and met some intellectual people. Very powerful. So do your methods or your methodologies, when I've seen that image about the left and right brain, can you explain about that a little bit in terms of analytical and poetic, if you will, you know, left and right?
Well, it's a great observation. In the past, a lot of the science divided up our brain to say we have the left side, we have the right side. And obviously we do. And they said basically the left side had its own unique abilities and talents, and the right side had its own unique abilities and talents. And again, that's true. But what we have since learned is that they can change roles. There was a woman who had a stroke and one side of her body and her brain did not work. She trained the other side of her brain and body to do what the original side had done. And we found out that, oh, they're not as limited as we thought they were. And so where I am going with all this, and it's one of the reasons the first book was called Zero Limits, and my mentoring program is called Zero Limits Mentoring, is because I don't believe we have any limits. I don't believe anything is impossible. I know that as we sit here, if there was a truly skeptical, dark person, they would say, oh, what about such and such, or what about such and such? And my view is, based on our beliefs, based on our mental constructs, we will decide that something is doable or not doable. We'll decide something's possible or not possible, including the brain. We'll decide that, oh, the left only does this and the right only does that. We're the ones creating the limitations. We're the ones doing that. So all of my teaching is in the direction of dissolving all those internal limits, what in Ho'oponopono we call data. And let me give you a quick example, because the way you've described me, it may sound to people that, oh, it all happens to Joe real easily. He gets an idea for a book and tomorrow the book's out. Or he gets an idea for a movie and then he's in a movie. I wanted to point out that when I decided to be a singer, songwriter, musician, it was 7 years ago. I was turning 60 at the time, and it was on my bucket list. And I said, you know, I have a couple of guitars. I really love music. I don't have any training. I don't even sing in the shower or behind the wheel of the car. Never did karaoke. Don't have a band. Don't know how to write songs. But I want to record music. And so the very first thing that happened was terror. Terror. Me, at the age of 60, with all of my accomplishments already in the movie The Secret, all the books already done, known as a self-help guru, have a miracles coaching program, talk about miracles, facing fears and everything. There's me, wanting to be a musician, going, nah, I don't think I can do this. I'm too old. I'm too untalented. I don't have the voice. I don't have the skills. I have no musical background. I have no musical theory. I went through what everybody goes through. I went through the self-doubt. I went through the self-criticism, and I almost didn't do it. The only reason I went through it is I said, wait a minute. How would it look if this so-called best-selling author, self-help guru, spiritual teacher, whatever you want to call me, says, oh, I do everything that I want to do in my life except one thing. I didn't go make music because I was afraid. No, I know enough skills, I know enough techniques, and of course I know Ho'oponopono. I applied all of those skills, including Ho'oponopono, to those doubts. And then, within 7 years, I released 15 albums. I was in Rolling Stone magazine twice. Some of my songs were nominated for the POSI Award, which is the Grammys of Positive Music. Some of my songs are soundtracks to movies. And I have studied personally with Melissa Etheridge, a rock icon who I've been a fan of for 20-some years. I sat with her in her studio and worked on a song and dedicated my last album to her, the one called The Great Something. All of this is to say, look, anytime we go for something we've never gone before, we try something new, you're bound to feel uncomfortable. You might even be afraid because it's something you've never done before. But as I've shown, you can face your fears, delete the data, do Ho'oponopono or whatever other bag of trick is there, something out of your bag of tricks that is there to help you do this, and you can do it too.
Totally agree. I have that limitless mindset, and you don't need to take the pill to do it. There's, as you said, there's things we can do to help us push through. And there's two things that come to mind, because I quickly went to your YouTube channel and I just selected one video, and it was 3rd of December 2014. It was Reflections. And I'm watching you singing the song, but the word you're saying, like the meaning behind that, is very powerful, yeah. which made me think about how you were talking about being the witness just before. So yes. With reflection, it's like what I have on my website on the front page, it says, I say to the viewers, I'm not what you think I am. You are what you think I am. It's a similar thing in terms with reflections. And when I was watching, that's great. And then when you talked about being the witness and the observer and selecting the thoughts, it's just tying in how two different people that I had never seen your YouTube channel before until 1.5 hour prior to this, and I only selected one video, was that one, in terms of how things work with synchronicity, because that's how the law of attraction really magnifies. And right. I noticed also in the interview with Jules, you mentioned, you know, the law of attraction. We know there's the secret, but we have bumps, what I call cycles. That's how I do with things with numerology and astrology. Can you explain to the viewers a little bit about, you know, because it's practical knowledge to know that there's going to be bumps, you know, when we're going through the law of attraction, spiritual niche, if you will.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is very crucial. I think a lot of people who first hear about the law of attraction think, well, if I visualize, I meditate and I affirm and I do all the right things, I'll never have a bad day. I'll never get sick. There'll never be bad news. Everything's going to be rosy. And that's not the way it happens. Because as soon as people do have a bad day, or they get sick, or it rains on them, they get skeptical and they get critical and go, oh, the law of attraction doesn't work. Stanley's full of it. Joe Vitale's all nonsense. And what they have to realize is we are humans having a very human experience. There will be rain. There will be illness. There will be death. And as soon as we realize that this is part of the life experience, we can ride it better. It's when we think it's always going to be puppies and unicorns and ice cream and whatever the idea of the perfect world is, that we will be setting ourselves up for self-sabotage, delusion, and disappointment. So it's nothing wrong with rain. There's nothing wrong with sunshine. There's nothing wrong with some days are good, some days are bad. When you start to realize that they're all actually good, the only reason you call one bad is that it's not fitting with your preconceived ideas of what it should be. From a higher perspective, you can look at it as it's actually all good. And believe me, I know what it's like to wrestle with this stuff. I was homeless. I was in poverty for 10 years. I thought I had it made. Then over the last 2 years, death of my father, death of my best friend, family member attempt suicide, go through a divorce that's a persecution of my life and business, meet a new partner, Lisa Winston, who gets sick, and I'm basically taking care of her. And of course, there's a pandemic.
and you wrote 7 books as well. So,
yeah, and during it all, I wrote 7 books.
So, you know, when we look at that perception of good or bad, it's up to us to, in like you said, within the moment, turn a negative into a positive. That's what true magic really is in perception. And Bruce Lee even mentioned it's not the obstacle that counts, it's the reaction to the obstacle. It's how we react. So very powerful. I also last year came across the movie. It was they made a movie on the documentary The Secret called Dare to Dream, and it was released mid last year, and I watched it, and it's a, you know, great to see a Hollywood movie come out with a movie. There's not much swearing or not killing or anything. It had good principles behind it, and I summarized 6 lessons then, and I want to get your intake, because I had made a page on my site called Dare to Dream. I just want to get your intake, and there's 6 lessons how you can further edify these 6 lessons, if you will. One of the first lessons was, there are only 2 ways to live your life. This is what they say in the movie. Nothing is a miracle, or everything is a miracle.
Totally agree.
Likewise.
Totally agree. I believe the quote's originally from Einstein, but it's true.
That's like what you mentioned just recently in your Facebook post. Is it good or bad? It's up to us to look in the good, so to speak. Yes. Anything is possible if you believe. Now, I mean, we've touched on that throughout this whole interview in terms of perception, burning the energy, not burning the energy, getting that done with, and then just really creating and people being inspiring. And that's what belief is, kicking that belief to inspire. This is very powerful, which goes along, obviously, you in the 2006, your thoughts attract things with a force that you cannot see, but is definitely real. It's like what you said before about the collective cosmic consciousness peeking through to someone else across the planet, and it just sneaks in, and how you grab the fifth phrase from the ether, if you will. That's like a magnetic force. The fourth lesson is you have to be careful because you get what you expect.
Yes. Some people say that flippantly. It's like, watch what you wish for because you could get it. It's like, well, no, the positive is, yes, focus on what you want because you're going to get it.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in the magazine as well. You focus on what you want. Yes. And if you don't know what you want, how can you focus on something? So that's where people need clarity. So with your Hawaiian technique, if people are, you know, it's not just about the brain, mind, or the subconscious. You're talking about the essence of a person, the divinity, if you will. I believe that will give them even more clarity when they go through the technique. And the last lesson is open to the possibility that whatever happens, even the bad stuff, can lead to better things. It's exactly how you spoke about your Facebook post that you did just yesterday, I think it was, or 2 days ago, in terms of the good. Look for the good.
Yes.
I made these page about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I only came across your Facebook post an hour and a half ago. But it's pretty much our conversation we've had in this past hour sums up those six lessons. Because something said to me, pop up this page and let's see how it goes. But it's amazing.
Those are great insights. I totally agree with those six lessons, and I'm glad you put them in writing so other people can find them and go see them.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And for those viewers, if you haven't seen the 2006 documentary, that's, you know, your standard 101 type of law of attraction. Go and watch the movies. And where can people find out more about you, Dr. Joe? What are the best sites, links, books?
Well, I'm all over the place. I mean, The Fifth Phrase, the new book, is at Amazon, and all of my books are at Amazon. So if you go there and type in my name, Joe Vitale, you'll find it. I do have a special offer for people that are fans of you. I have a three-product for $3 offer, and the three items that they would get is, I have a program called The Missing Secret, and The Missing Secret fills in the gaps in self-development. I really feel, based on my own conclusions, evidence, my experience with clients and myself, is that we have to clear up the negative limiting beliefs before we can have what we consciously declare we want. And so I say that's the missing secret. You have to get clear of what's in the subconscious mind. So I have a program on that. I have another program called the 3-Day Rule. And the 3-Day Rule says what you're thinking and feeling right now is going to manifest in 3 days.
Wow, that's awesome.
The reason it typically doesn't is that we change our mind, we change our feelings, we bring in doubt. And before you know it, we've already corrupted the mechanism that would bring it in 3 days. So what do you do about it? I have a program called the 3-Day Rule. And then I have a book called Money, Love, Speed. And part of this package, they can have the book and they can have the audio of it. And it reveals the 8 laws around attracting money. It has nothing to do with banking or real estate. It's all about mindset. So all of these for $3, go to zerolimitsmethod.com. Zerolimitsmethod.com. Otherwise, Stanley, I'm all over the internet. I'm not hiding. My website's Vitale Life Mastery. I'm on Facebook as Dr. Joe Vitale. On Instagram as Dr. Joe Vitale, drjoevitale.com, and so forth.
And you MrFire.com as well. That's one of your names.
Yeah, MrFire.com, MrFire.com. That website's been up since the late 1990s. That's how long I've been online.
It's that's awesome. It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, because I knew you in the terms of hypnotic marketing and copywriting. I mean, you have so many modalities. That's why I say, as you move forward, you will always come up with new things, because it's the intellect that you get from the ether, and it's in the moment. It's fantastic. And who would have thought, 15 years after seeing the documentary, that I've written an article in the same magazine as you. I never would have thought that. There you go. That's how synchronicity works, right? So
that's the beauty of life. You never know what's around the corner. I look forward to finding out what the new thing is I'm pulling out of the ethers that I'm going to get excited about. I look forward to that. I'm like a little kid going, "All right, what's next?"
And that's the best way to be, because when we're childlike, we remain young and we're creating all the time. So it's beautiful. So once again, Dr. Joe Vitale, it's been awesome talking to you. I you know, love to maybe talk with you again sometime, you know, even further with the intellect, because you've got a lot of knowledge for the viewers out there. I mean, if people just grasp some of the things that Dr. Joe just said, they were very deep. Depending on the listener's level of ascension, they can take this very deep. So I love the fifth phrase, multidimensional. So it's fantastic.
I love this interview. Stanley, you ask great questions. I love your presence and your spirituality. And I would like to do another interview down the road where we just go really deep and just see what we unravel and what we discover.
I'm all for it. That'll be awesome. So once again, thank you, my friend. It's been
thank
awesome.
You. Godspeed to you and all your
thank
listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Please join us every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to loaradionetwork.com/Stan-Lee to get show access information. Have a great week.